Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking your research on these high-value markets, Leek, Michigan specifically, and we're going to cut right to the chase. Find that single most important piece of intelligence.
Yeah, you've got this stack of sources on luxury property investment, right?
Exactly. And we're zeroing in on one single finding. It comes from the Leek, Michigan Luxury Property Investment Trends material.
And it sounds, you know, almost deceptively simple.
It does.
But it carries, well, immense weight when you really understand the investment landscape.
Mm-hmm.
The core finding is just this. Luxury properties on Leek, Michigan sustained interest.
Okay.
Our mission today really is to unpack those few words, translate them into what they actually mean for demand stability, for asset durability.
All right, let's do it. Let's unpack this because, you know, if you're an investor looking at different asset classes, you usually wade through tons of stats, right? Transactions, inventory, price swings. It's a lot.
It is a lot of noise.
But here, the analyst seems to have done the heavy lifting just by using that one word, sustained. So why is sustained the key insight here, especially, you know, compared to maybe flashier luxury markets elsewhere? What makes it so valuable?
Well, in finance and real estate, volatility often gets the headlines, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure. Big swings.
But for long-term wealth, for preservation, stability, that's the real prize. If the source just said luxury properties have interest, well, okay, that could mean anything. A brief spike, maybe speculation.
A temporary trend.
Exactly. But sustained interest.
Right.
That tells us the demand isn't some anomaly. It's not just a seasonal thing or a short-term bounce. It suggests it's a fundamental part of that market structure. It's really the ultimate metric for reliable demand, for durability.
Okay, before we dive deeper into the sustained aspect, let's quickly nail down the other two pieces. Luxury properties on Leek, Michigan, what does that combination immediately signal just on its own?
Right. It signals scarcity, instantly. And scarcity, well, that's the bedrock of value for any hard asset, isn't it? Leek, Michigan shoreline. It's finite. They're not making more of it. It doesn't get easily zoned away or, you know, replicated somewhere else.
Can't build another Great Lake.
Exactly. So when you combine that kind of irreplaceable geography with the luxury label, meaning, you know, top tier properties, highest price points, best build quality, you're dealing with assets that have this built-in defense against market downturns. They're prime assets, hard assets.
Okay, so we've got the scarcity of the location locked down. Now let's pivot back to that behavioral part, the demand itself, the durability of that interest.
Huh?
If it's sustained, why shouldn't we be a bit skeptical? Like maybe it's just analyst speak for a market that's kind of flatlining or appreciating really, really slowly. Where's the proof it's resilience, not just stagnation?
That's a really crucial distinction to make. You're right. If a market is stagnating, what you typically see is transaction volume drying up, right? Mm-hmm. Liquidity gets thin.
Okay.
But sustained interest, when used in this kind of analytical context, it usually implies a healthy absorption rate.
Absorption rate.
Meaning that qualified buyers are consistently, reliably stepping in. They're acquiring inventory as it comes onto the market, preventing a buildup, a glut. It's this consistent appetite that's key.
Yeah.
And it links directly to something called the flight to quality.
Ah, okay. Explain that connection. How does sustained interest in the specific market signal a flight to quality for, say, a sophisticated investor?
Well, think about times of economic uncertainty. Could be global politics, stock market jitters, inflation worries, whatever it is.
Right.
When that uncertainty rises, high net worth capital tends to look for shelter. It seeks out hard assets that have historically held their purchasing power.
Makes sense. Tangible things.
Exactly. And Leek, Michigan luxury property, being scarce, being high quality, becomes a perfect candidate for that shelter. It's maybe less about chasing maximum annual returns and more about minimizing risk exposure, protecting capital.
So the sustained interest shows that this capital keeps flowing in.
Consistently.
Yeah.
It flows into this specific perceived safe haven asset class, almost regardless of the economic noise happening elsewhere.
Got it. So sustained demand really translates directly into risk reduction for the investor. Okay, so if I'm thinking about entering this market or maybe even exiting, how does knowing the interest is sustained change my strategy compared to, say, a market that's booming but maybe feels more speculative, like a hypergrowth situation?
It changes the calculation significantly. Consistency gives you stability, right? And stability is just gold for capital planning.
Okay.
In a really speculative market, you've got to be brilliant or lucky with your timing. Buy low, sell high, hope the bubble doesn't pop while you're holding it.
High stress.
Very. But in a market defined by sustained interest, like this Lake Michigan niche seems to be, your risk of those deep cyclical losses, it's significantly lower. This consistency makes the asset much more attractive for long-term holding, for wealth preservation. Often we're talking planning across multiple generations.
And I imagine that stability changes how lenders see it too, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. That's a great point. Because sustained interest implies reliable underlying demand and, you know, limited downside risk, lenders tend to view these specific assets as highly secure collateral.
Safer bet for them.
A much safer bet. Now, the interest rates themselves might still track the general market, of course, but the perceived risk associated with the asset class holding its value is lower. And that can sometimes translate into slightly more favorable terms, maybe higher loan-to-value ratios for a qualified buyer. It's subtle, maybe, but it's a powerful secondary benefit that really stems just from that one word, sustained.
Okay, let's talk about the buyers themselves. Who is maintaining this interest? You mentioned wealth preservation earlier, so we're probably not talking about highly leveraged investment groups looking to flip these places every year or two.
No, generally not. We're talking about deep capital, the kind of buyer who often sees this type of property as more of a multi-generational legacy asset, you know, a place where their family gathers, creates history for decades.
Right, more personal connection.
Definitely. And these buyers typically have the financial strength to purchase without needing excessive leverage. That's key. It means they don't face pressure for forced selling during minor or even moderate economic downturns.
They can ride it out.
They can ride it out. And that stability within the ownership pool itself is a huge factor in keeping the market robust. They're somewhat insulated from the shocks that can drive volatility in, say, housing markets that rely more heavily on financing or short-term gains.
And it's fascinating, isn't it, how the type of interest, the motivation of the buyer, really dictates the fundamental health of the market.
Really does.
When the interest is sustained by this kind of buyer, the market seems to sidestep that classic boom and bust cycle you see elsewhere.
Precisely. Think about maybe some other high-end markets, say on the edge of a major tech hub. Demand there might explode during a specific sector boom, right?
Yeah, you see that happen.
But the minute that sector hits turbulence, maybe layoffs, that market can just seize up, completely freeze. Lake Michigan luxury, because it's supported by broader, more diversified, often multi-generational capital, it just doesn't tend to experience that same level of erratic behavior.
Much less fragile.
Much less fragile. And that's why the source likely highlighted sustained interest. It's really an indicator of deep structural health in the market, not just some superficial, cyclical excitement.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, let's pivot slightly to the geography again. Why Lake Michigan specifically? The source singled it out. It didn't mention, you know, the Hamptons or Aspen or other luxury spots. What are the unique drivers, maybe non-monetary ones, that help solidify the sustained interest in this particular Great Lakes market?
That's a good question, because the non-monetary drivers here are, I think, really powerful and sometimes get overlooked.
Like what?
Well, for many high net worth individuals based in the Midwest, Chicago, Detroit, Milwaukee, those areas, Lake Michigan properties represent not just wealth, but also legacy and, crucially, proximity.
Convenience.
Right. Unlike maybe flying to a remote coastal enclave, a lot of prominent families can reach their Lake Michigan retreat relatively quickly, maybe just a drive. So it offers that privacy, that genuine escape, but combined with geographic convenience. It's a powerful mix.
So it's accessible yet feels isolated. What about other factors? Like, is there a unique culture or maybe even state tax things that play into it?
Yeah, those can matter too. Many properties along the lake are in areas known for maybe significant historical character or architectural status. Mm-hmm. That appeals to a certain type of status-conscious buyer who wants an established identity, not just a brand new, maybe sterile development.
Right.
And you mentioned taxes. For people looking to diversify assets geographically, maybe away from high-tax coastal states like California or New York, a Midwestern location like this can offer a stable alternative that still provides spectacular, you know, irreplaceable waterfront access.
So it's a trade-off, maybe.
It can be seen that way. It's a sophisticated calculation.
Yeah.
You might be trading the potential for, say, explosive appreciation for maximum stability.
Yeah.
And maybe a lower administrative or tax burden.
Okay, that brings up an interesting point. If sustained interest implies stability and maybe a slower growth path, is there an implied ceiling on growth? Are these investors basically sacrificing potentially massive capital gains just for peace of mind?
Well, that's the intellectual tension, isn't it? You hit on it.
Oh, wow.
While those speculative markets might promise, say, 30% growth one year,
yeah,
they might just as easily deliver a 20% drop the next. The sustained interest we see talked about for Lake Michigan suggests that while appreciation might be slower, maybe steadier perhaps, tracking high-end inflation plus a little premium, the underlying asset value itself is almost guaranteed to hold up over the long term. So the return here is often calculated differently. It's thought about, in real terms, factoring in that wealth preservation, those risk-adjusted returns, rather than just chasing nominal percentage gains on paper.
In other words, sustained interest points to a market that really prioritizes protecting the principal over purely aggressive growth strategies.
Exactly.
And if the investor's main goal is wealth preservation, then that steadier, more predictable appreciation is actually a feature, isn't it? Not a bug.
Precisely. It's exactly what they're looking for. And this consistency also impacts some of the technical metrics people watch. Sustained demand helps prevent widespread panic selling during downturns, which helps avoid phenomena like cap rate expansion. That's where returns seem to drop suddenly because asset prices are falling. It keeps the whole investment thesis viable over the long haul. The health of this market is really defined by its resilience, its resistance to those external pressures.
Okay, let's try and synthesize this for the listener then. We started with just one short sentence: luxury properties on Lake Michigan's sustained interest. After unpacking it, what does this affirmation of durability ultimately tell you about this very specific niche market?
I think it provides a really powerful, almost instant assessment. It tells the informed observer, someone like you listening, that this specific intersection of luxury product and finite geography has created a remarkably stable, mature demand pool. And importantly, it's fueled by sophisticated long-term capital.
So you don't necessarily need pages of statistics?
Not always. Just understanding the deep implication of that word sustained confirms the fundamental strength and the resistance to erratic swings.
Yeah.
The key piece of validation for anyone thinking about holding assets there long-term.
That's the power of the deep dive, right? Taking that single piece of intel and really mapping out its full meaning. But let's leave you, our listener, with one final thought, something to maybe mull over.
Yeah.
If the sources confirm that interest is indeed sustained for these Lake Michigan luxury properties, it really encourages a deeper look at how those non-monetary factors we touched on, things like privacy, family legacy, quality of life, how those actually get monetized in the long run.
That's a great point. When capital is this reliable, this consistent, it affirms the intrinsic value of the location itself beyond just the bricks and mortar.
So the question becomes,
what price premium are buyers willing to pay consistently, generation after generation, for features that you can't easily measure in square footage or potential rental yield alone? The sustained nature of the demand strongly suggests that these intangible quality of life benefits are valued highly enough to essentially override typical economic anxieties. And that anchors the asset's floor value, maybe almost indefinitely.
A fascinating way to frame the enduring value in that market. That's a great place to leave it. We'll see you next time for another deep dive.